The opinions of the Mixed Babble podcast is the opinions of the hosts and the guests alone. We are not medical professionals. If you need medical advice, please speak with your doctor or a medical professional for guidance and treatment. Listener's discretion is advised. Explicit language and topics may be covered and used. Thank you. Hi guys, welcome to Mixed Babble. My name is Joni Brown. I am in the middle of the end of the world. What are you guys up to? Everything from the day-to-day bullshit, positive quotes that inspire me, books that I'm currently into, music that I'm obsessed with, or just whatever comes to mind. Let's get into it. Hey, hey guys, this is your host, Joni Brown of the Mixed Babble podcast. Welcome back. I just want to start off by saying the fact that I am recording this episode, which is episode 8, is a big deal, and I'm going to tell you why. So apparently there's a statistic that most podcasts never make it past the 7th episode. I don't know if that's because people quit, they lose interest, they're no longer motivated. I don't know why, but I think that's why they say that that happens. So it's a huge deal to me that I am recording this 8th episode. I've stuck with it and I'm here for another week. I am not going to pretend that today was not a little rough as far as trying to get motivated to record. And the reason for that is I've been binge watching 90 Day Fiancé. It is a fucking time warp, first of all. And it doesn't really help that whether it's Netflix or on demand, whatever it is, Hulu, whatever it is that you're watching, they just start the next episode within like 10 seconds. And so you don't even have time to emotionally commit, like, am I ready to do another episode? I probably should go wash dishes. I probably should take a shower. You just go right into the next one, and next thing you know, it's like 8 hours later. So I've been currently binging 90 Day Fiancé. Now, I'm the type of person that when that episode is on TV, it's like a train wreck, so I end up watching it. But for whatever reason, yesterday, which was Saturday, I decided that I was going to do the on-demand. So it's like one episode after the next. And I was sucked into that time warp. And it was thoroughly entertaining. I'm all about finding something that's going to make me laugh. And it fills that void. It really does. So to get motivated to pause and stop watching to come and record, I was just like, okay, bitch, it's time. Like, you need to record or you're not going to end up doing it. So here I am. It's on pause. Everything has halted. I am here. I'm recording with you. But season 2 of 90 Day Fiancé, whew, child. I know I'm way behind. As I said, when it's on TV, I watch it, but I could not tell you the date or time or channel that it even comes on. I think it's TLC, but I couldn't tell you what channel TLC is on in my house. I just flip through the channels, and when I happen to come across it, I'll leave it there and I'll continue to watch. But this is my first time actually going through the episodes in chronological order and actually seeing how the shit unfolds, and it's been fantastic. Guilty pleasure, mindless TV. I'm here for it. So that's what I've been doing. But yeah, I've been super lazy. I don't know how you guys are doing out there in the world, still in the pandemic, still another quarantine week. Obviously, I'm not in quarantine, but you know what I mean? Like, isolation for the most part. We're all kind of sort of doing that unless we go out for necessities. My husband did his first DJ gig last night since he got sick. So that was kind of, I guess you could say, concerning. We are a little bit more paranoid these days, and you don't know if you can catch that shit twice. Or I think they said that some people have, but I don't know. Like, everything is such bullshit right now that I don't even know what to believe. So he was taking proper precautions. He told me that he was off in the distance from everyone else. And so he wasn't really in the vicinity of the small group that he was DJing for. Yes, it was a small group. It was about 12 to 15 people max at any given time. And they were socially distant from him, and he also had his mask. So we are taking proper precautions. I don't want that to seem like we're being negligent in any way, because flattening the curve and wearing your mask is essential right now. We really got to get this shit under control so that we can fucking move on with our lives. People, just do what you need to do. We're making this last longer than it really needs to. Like, honestly, stop it. Wear your fucking mask. Be distant from each other as much as you can. I've seen people on social media post pictures of family gatherings and shit like that, and I'm like, what makes you think that your cousin Pookie won't have that shit? Just because, like, you've known them since you were two doesn't mean that they don't got that shit. And y'all hugged up and doing all this shit, and I'm just like, you can tell who hasn't like really had it hit close to home. Because once you've had that shit or been around someone close to you that's had it, it's a wake-up call. And I would not wish that on anybody, because it really does react to people differently. I've actually been talking to my husband about considering donating plasma, since he has had the coronavirus and he survived. They are saying that I think people that have had it, made a full recovery, that their plasma, donating their plasma is potentially helpful to others that are critically ill. So if that's something that you can do and you have all the factors of getting it, surviving it, you have the strength to do it. I do know there's some residual issues. So if you can do it after you've had COVID, it might be something to consider. I mentioned it to my husband. He's considering it. I don't know if he's going to be serious about doing it, but we'll see. I mean, if you could potentially help someone, why not? I know he's had some bad experiences in the past with giving blood, so I think it might kind of freak him out a little bit. And I've never donated plasma, so I don't really know what that consists of. So I don't know. It's something that we're considering him doing if it can help someone else. But yeah, I've been super lazy this weekend. A couple months ago, I per nope. Yeah, it might be a couple months. I'm not even gonna make it sound better than it is. I bought a treadmill, and I was like, I am going to put this treadmill in the gym. We have a home gym. It's a room that we've converted to a gym. Don't think that we're like rich and fancy. So we have a home gym, and it has, a small TV in there and some free weights and things that I've gotten over the years, some bands, and just, as I said, free weights and whatever. The shit that you need just to get through a home workout. And I bought this treadmill, I wouldn't say 2 months ago, and I will admit that I have not used it. My husband passive aggressively asked me last week, "Have you even used a treadmill since you got it?" And first of all, rude, because I think first of all, you knew the answer to that question. And it's also because he didn't want me to get it in the first place. So I know he was trying to be like, see, I told you not to get it, and you got it, and you haven't been using it. But in my defense, the gym is in disarray. And the reason for that is when we redid our floors, we kind of packed everything into that room in boxes. And so there are still quite a few boxes in there. So I don't like to work out in a space that's not organized and put together. So that's kind of been my excuse, is that like the gym is a mess. I don't want to go in there right now. And every time I attempt to clean it up, halfway through, I'm like, I'm tired. I pull everything out and then I get tired. And then I'm like, okay, I'll finish this tomorrow. And then I don't. So I am looking to do some donating to whether it's a Salvation Army or Goodwill, just so that I can declutter my life, get organized, and all the things I say to you guys. I'm trying to do that myself. I'm not perfect. I'm really not a motivational speaker, but I just want to share like information that I've gathered, whether from books or whatever, because I read a lot as far as like Well, I was gonna say magazines, but I read books, I listen to books, I listen to podcasts, I do all those things. So I'm trying to bring some value to the things that I've done and read and experiences I've had myself to you all. So when I say, organize your life, it'll make you feel better. I'm trying to do that shit myself. I actually probably should listen back to the shit I've told you guys to do because I need to take my own advice. But yeah, my fucking gym is a mess. And I say all that to say, with being lazy, I was like, I really need to get that gym together so I can start working out and getting in shape and getting back in shape because I had lost like 34 pounds or some shit like that over the past like year. And then COVID happened and said, bitch, so all that shit you lost, what we gonna do is you gonna gain that shit back and you're gonna lose all motivation to get back on your routine. I haven't been in a routine since like March. It's been bad. So that quarantine 15 or quarantine 30, like it's gotten to the point where I'm like, I don't even want to weigh myself because that shit's gonna be depressing as fuck. So I really don't know how much I've gained. I can only imagine. And then there's that whole thing, which I'm sure I'll talk about at some point with getting in shape and all that mental stuff that comes with it. But I know like for me, it's hard. I have a weird relationship with the scale because you weigh and you feel like you've been doing what you're supposed to do, but then the scale doesn't move. And so I go back and forth with not weighing and just having non-scale victories and things like that. So I'm gonna keep you guys posted on how my progress is going with that. Keep saying that I'm gonna start on Saturday. I'm gonna start and I'm gonna start work, walking, maybe walking at least 30 minutes while I'm watching a show that's in the gym. And really, with me watching this 90 Day Fiancé shit, I really could have been walking on the treadmill this whole time. But shit happens. I don't know. So at some point, I do plan to get my life together. I know some of y'all feel me right now, the struggle to be motivated. But baby steps, I'm here, I'm talking on the podcast, so I'm doing something that I promised myself I would do. So I mean, baby steps. But one of the books that I just purchased is actually, it hasn't come out yet. It's coming out in about a week, I think a week and a half. By the time you listen to this, it's probably about a week. So August 18th of this month, a new book is coming out by Autumn Calabrese. She is the creator of the 21 Day Fix. The reason why I say that, now one, I haven't gotten the book yet. It hasn't come out yet. I don't know if it's any good. I imagine it is. And the reason is she's the creator of the 21 Day Fix. And the 21 Day Fix is what actually helped me get healthy and in shape for my wedding. I had lost 35 pounds, 36 pounds, or something like that, for my wedding back in 2016. I lost that in about 5 months, very healthily. It was great. I didn't feel like I was being deprived. I used, I'm sure you've seen the portion control containers, and that's what she has. It's the ones where they're color-coded and you put the appropriate amount of food in each, and they give you a guide on what to do based on your weight and everything, how many of those containers you would allocate for each thing. But I loved it. It was actually to the point where I felt like I had too much food. And typically, that's not even something that people complain about when they're on a diet or trying to lose weight. It's usually I'm always hungry and I'm never satiated and I feel deprived. And with her program, I never felt deprived. I sometimes had containers left over because I could not seem to eat it all. So most plans, I don't think most people can say that on most plans. So there, that's something to consider if it's something that you want to do and lose weight. And I've said it a million times, unless I specify that they sponsor the podcast, they do not. This is just my recommendation. Obviously, consult with your doctor. All that shit. I tell you this every time. Everyone has different things, thyroid, diabetes. Speak to a doctor and see if the plan is okay for you. And yeah, so she is with Beachbody, and you may know who they are. They are the people with Insanity and P90X and T25 and obviously 21 Day Fix and all those other workout plans that I highly recommend. My husband has done them. He's the one who actually introduced me to Insanity, which the name itself should explain what the fuck that shit's like. After the warm up, I was like, okay, well, that was fun. And that was only like 5 minutes and I was fucking done. So that's me, though. I mean, by all means, try it, see if you like it. Don't hurt yourselves. You can do the modifiers and whatnot. But this episode is not even about that. But I just thought I would kind of give you guys an update on what's going on over here and all my mental shit that I'm dealing with. I'm not perfect. My mental health was something that I'm trying to keep intact as much as possible. So I get it. We all struggling. And hopefully the 30, 40 minutes that you guys sit with me and listen is somewhat helpful to you and you can go about your day in a positive way. But I try. I'm struggling just like everybody else. And routine for me is really important right now. I don't have one really in place other than making sure I record. And I'm trying my best to keep my fucking life somewhat in order. And I'm trying to be like, listen, summertime fine is out. That shit is done. I don't even know. That shit's done. We gonna shoot for fall, winter. That's what we shooting for. So, yeah, my goal is to start walking on the treadmill for, see, I try to set the bar low. There was actually I want to say it's a book. It was like a quick read though. I think it was only like 4 hours long when you listened to it on Audible. I can't remember the name of it, but one of the tips that the guy gave, and I'm paraphrasing, was to start low, like a small point of entry or a low point of entry. When you have goals or things that you want to do, especially when it comes to weight loss and getting motivated. And one of the tips that he mentioned was, what you should do is start small. So if you say, I'm going to do X at least for 5 minutes, that's a low point of entry. Every day I'm going to do X for 5 minutes. So for example, I am going to walk on the treadmill for 5 minutes a day for, you know, 5 days a week or 7 days a week or however, you know, whatever the number is that you want to use. And so that's your goal, 5 minutes or go around the block five, you know, once every day. So what the thought process is, once you start to actually, because half the time the issue is getting, you know, motivated to even move at all or just even get started. So typically once somebody's already in that act and in that motion, it's going to be easier for them to make it 10 minutes. So for example, me personally, my biggest issue is getting motivated to even put some clothes on and some shoes on and, you know, put my hair up and actually go. So if I say, you know, I'm going to do this for 5 minutes a day, once I get dressed and I'm doing that 5 minutes, next thing you know, while you're in the midst of doing that action, you're like, you know what? I'm already dressed. I'm already out here. I'm going to go 5 more minutes. And that's the thought process. That's the thought process behind it. For me, I know, again, the hardest part is actually getting up and getting dressed. But when I would get to the gym, I'm like, I'm already at the gym. I'm going to make this worth me being here. So then I would go hard and I'd probably end up being there for 30, 45 minutes, sometimes even longer because I was already there and I wanted to make the most of it. So that's why you create a small point of entry so that once you're actually already in the act, you may end up mentally already being ready to push yourself a little further because you're already, you know, dressed and you're going to try to make the most of it. So that I think is a great point and great advice because for a lot of people, it's the motivation of even like starting that really hinders everybody from even doing anything. But anyway, I will be right. So we are back and I was in the middle of telling you about trying to get motivated to even do anything. So like I said, I want to say small point. That's not the correct terminology, low point of entry. Keep it small and then go from there. That should hopefully help you get motivated. I hope that helps someone out there because it definitely helped me. Once you do the 5 minutes, even if, say you say 5 minutes and you only do 5 minutes for a week, you still feel accomplished. And I think that's the biggest thing. You said 5 minutes and you did 5 minutes at least. So you would feel like you've done something, you met a goal, you kept your promise that you made to yourself. So that will motivate you to keep going. And then obviously as time goes on, you're going to want to up that a little bit. Whether it's, you don't have to go from 5 to 30. It could be, now I'm going to do 10 minutes a day, and then so on and so forth. So if you miss a day, it's helpful to then maybe move that time over to your next day that you work out. But if that's going to stress you out, just go ahead and skip that day. Just don't make it a habit. Just for the fact that I think it's also important that you don't punish yourself when you do miss a day. Sometimes your body does need rest. Sometimes you get sick, but when you're not being honest with yourself, because it's easy to be like, you know, I need rest. I'm so tired. I have a headache, and really you're fine. So just make sure you're being honest with yourself. If you feel up to maybe doubling up on a day because you missed one, fine, but don't do it as a way of punishing yourself. But that's enough of that shit. I am going to try my damnedest to do something this week, even if that's starting Monday. And I hate to even say that because it's always next Monday, next Monday. I will report back to you guys on how that's going. It'll be interesting to see what I have to say then, and if I actually did it, because my new treadmill is looking kind of dusty. Anyway, today I had mentioned a couple episodes, like in the very beginning, that I was going to be reading to you all my blog, somewhat audible style. And today I was trying to decide which one I wanted to read to you guys. I told you it was going to be kind of audible style, but I'm going to jump in here and there and kind of give a little bit more, you know, context to what was going on at that time. So in the beginning, I said I was going to read some of these blog entries. The website is unicornbabble.com. If you ever want to go and read on your own and then maybe check back and see what new information I have to provide, if any. But I was trying to decide which episode, jumping from blog to podcast is so difficult because I want to call the blog entries episodes, and I want to call, it's hard. Trust me, just believe me when I say it's fucking hard. So if I misspeak, you know what the fuck I mean. Stop being petty. Like, you know what I mean. All right. So the one I wanted to read today was written back in November of 2019. And it was hard to decide which one I wanted to talk about today. And this one, you know, it's a little bit hard of a transition, if you will, because I'm talking in the beginning of this, of, you know, all the happy things, whatever. And then this one kind of gets a little dark. This one's called Dead Collections, and there's two parts. I'm probably only going to read part one today, and then the other part on the following episode, episode 9. Just because I don't want to make this too long, and who knows how much additions I'm going to be making to this when I'm reading it to you all. So I'm just going to go ahead and jump into it now. So Dead Collections Part 1. For the purpose of leaving identities and companies private, I'm going to change their names. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, I'll quickly move right along. Back in 2005, I decided that retail was not going to cut it career-wise and decided that I'd make a transition to the glamorous world of debt collections. I told you guys that a few episodes ago. I think it was the episode that Brittany Brown was on, and I mentioned that I had worked in collections and how, like, people thought I was white when they would answer the phone and I would ask for the person I was calling for. So anyway, yeah, great times. Anyway, so seriously, I learned a lot about credit reporting, real life lessons, and met a handful of good people, but the debt collections world is super shady. And it is shady, not in like the mafia kind of way. I mean, I'm sure some of that's kind of going on out there, but it's shady in the fact that, I've seen people kind of fib to the people that they're calling just to get a close, like a closure. Debt collections is kind of like sales because you don't get paid much unless you close these deals. You're negotiating settlements and payoffs, and some people will just tell you whatever the fuck they want you to hear or they know you want to hear so that they can resolve the debt. Like, yes, they are technically still helping you resolve a debt by giving you a discount, if you will. But some of the shit that they say, I'd be looking at them like, now you know damn well you don't even have that authority to do that. But whatever. So, yeah, I mean, it was like a weird time in my life. I was really young. I started doing it when I was 18. And I worked in that field till my early to mid 20s. So, I actually was in that field for like 6.5 years at the time. So, I've seen some shit. And I worked at three different collection agencies. So, it was, and they were all very, very different. So, it was an experience for sure. And I learned a lot. So, like I said, I learned about credit reporting and, improving credit, which that in of itself is a whole conversation I've had with my husband. With how much like that information isn't shared when you're younger. Like, this is the type of shit that they should teach in school, like grade school. I'm not talking about college. We should know how credit works and building credit and making, good financial decisions. And even parents should know how to teach these things to their kids. So I'm glad I know that because hopefully my future children will know, how to build a good financial future. But anyway, back to it. So, I guess that's what made this job so enticing to a guy that I'll call Ben. I literally know no one with the name Ben, so it's fitting that I name him that way no one can think I'm talking about them. Ben was charismatic and in hindsight, most likely a sociopath. He was very approachable and always willing to help. I actually worked with him at my first collection job. That's where I met Ben. On occasion, he would greet me with a wagwan, which is sort of a Jamaican greeting, which translates to what's going on. He told me that he had taken patois in college, and that's how he learned it. So patois is the language, I think I said it in earlier episodes, that's the language that they speak in Jamaica. It's not Jamaican, as people tend to say. It's actually patois. So he would greet me that way, and it was kind of such a random thing that I didn't really think anything of it. But anyway, he told me he had taken patois in college, and that's how he had learned it, which I thought was kind of weird because I'm like, colleges are teaching that? But anyway, yeah. So I mean, I guess it could be a possibility, but I was 18 years old at the time, and the internet was still in its adolescence, think MySpace era. So I didn't even consider looking into it if that was a thing in college. Plus, why would I? He seemed normal, and that's such a weird thing to lie about, right? I eventually went on to leave this job a few years later and ended up at another collection agency where, you guessed it, Ben was working there. And it was kind of weird because, like, what are the chances that I would see him again. But then actually, it's not that unusual for debt collectors to cross paths again because it appears that most people in that field just rotate amongst the local agencies once they've signed their souls over to the devil. Just kidding. Not everyone does that. So, fast forward, it's actually now 2009. And I'm at this new collection agency, and Ben seemingly had created a name for himself there and had worked his way up to management. So good for him. It was interesting to see, you know, me coming in and now he's a manager, because he wasn't one at the first location we had worked together. So that was very different to see him in a position of power. But now he's, you know, gotten married and he's now living the American dream. I think he, at this point, can't remember if he had kids or not at this point. But I remember vividly, I don't think he did. So let me just jump in there. I don't think he had kids yet, but he was now married. And I remember vividly the day that I decided that I was finally going to leave collections for good. Because honestly, it was like emotionally draining. It started making me like hate people. Just the type of people that you talk to. And I'm not saying that everyone that is in debt or owes a collection agency or a company are bad, but a handful of the ones that I would speak to on a daily basis, they were terrible people. Like, I had people actually tell me that, oh yeah, every 10 years I just rack up my debts and then I file bankruptcy. So what are you going to do about it? So that should tell you the type of person, like type of people that I would come into contact with once in a while. And again, that's not everybody, but some of those calls, you get, you know, cursed out, you were being called names. It was just not the best mentally stable job to have. And I was very good at it. I was a good negotiator and whatnot, but just what it did to me as far as not liking people, it was just too much. And I knew it was time for a change. But anyway, so now I'm not saying that everyone... Yeah, I'm pretty much saying what I just said. yeah, not all people are bad, just like anything else, but those calls were tough, and we had a quota that we had to meet, so a lot of it was like between 100 to like 150 calls a day, so that should tell you something about the level of contact you were making each day. So now, as I said, I decided to leave, and I put my resignation in, and gave my 2 weeks notice. As my 2 weeks was coming to an end, Ben went out of his way to ask what he could do to convince me to stay. I laughed and politely said, absolutely nothing. And that was that. About 4 years had passed since I left that job, and I hadn't seen Ben since 2012. It was a normal weekend, and I was out shopping with my husband at a local mall when I saw Ben shopping with his toddler son. Now, mind you, he didn't have any kids at the time, so it was very surprising to see that he had a son. And, you know, I was cool with Ben. I think at one point I did have his number in my phone. So we were cool enough, but I've never called him or texted him or anything. So that was kind of weird. I guess, you know, sometimes you have people's information that you never end up using. But I see Ben, and something told me when I saw him, me and my husband had split up. When I mean split up, I mean he went down a different aisle. He was looking at his big ass shoes. Like, he wears like size 14. So he was like on the other side of the store. And I was in the, you know, ladies section. So I'm like, we had split up down different aisles. So when I saw Ben, I was by myself. And something, it had to have been God. I'm telling you, there's certain things in my life that have happened where I'm like, it had to be God. I see Ben, I see him with the kid. It would have been natural to go over and be like, oh my God, Ben, who is this? You know, introduce me to your son. Girl, guy, whoever listening to this, I was like, yeah, I'm not in the mood to see Ben today. Something told me, bitch, go down a different aisle. And I don't know if God says bitch, but that's what I heard. Bitch, go down a different aisle. You don't want to talk to Ben today. So that's what I did. I dodged his ass like he was the fucking IRS. Just kidding. I don't dodge your IRS. I pay all my taxes. Don't come after me. But I went down a different aisle and just avoided him for some reason that day. No rhyme or reason. Just decided not to say hello. 3 months after I saw him, from that day, I would later figure out why I did what I did. So that is the end of part one. To be continued. I'm going to leave you guys with that little fucking cliffhanger. If you want to cheat, you can go on unicornbabble.com and go to Dead Collections Part 2. I mean, you can cheat and go and look. I won't be mad. But if you want, you can wait for the next episode. I am going to finish that. And again, I'm going to add a little bit of something something in there to kind of give you some more context. But it's a big one. If you like true crime in any way, this story is for you. So, as always, you can follow me on my personal Instagram, blonde_blasian, or the mixed, and or, please just follow both, Mixed Babble on Instagram. And you can also email questions, advice, feedback, you know, like, subscribe, all that shit. But you can email the email, email the Mixed Babble Podcast email. So that's mixedbabblepodcast@gmail.com. You would think I would know how to speak by now, but I do not. So anyway, tune in next week for the rest of that story. You will not be disappointed in the story, but in the circumstances, it sucks. It does suck. So if you want to go and cheat and see what happened, go on unicornbabble.com. Till next week, wear your mask, don't be an asshole, and be nice. I think that's the same thing as don't be an asshole. But I guess it's worth saying twice because bitches are fucking losing their minds these days. Yeah, so bye guys. I did my episode 8. It's done. I have no longer been a statistic. 8 episodes. Hopefully I don't stop now. I'll see you guys next week. Bye.